Till this morning, the security firm G4S had been pretty quiet about its failure to provide enough trained people to ensure security for the Olympics. It has now decided to face up to the storm. Its chief executive, Nick Buckles, is going to talk to us in a moment. But first, let's remind ourselves about what's been said so far, beginning with the official acknowledgement from the government that something had gone wrong. It came on Thursday when the Home Secretary, Theresa May, made a statement to the Commons.
As the venue security exercise has got underway, concerns have arisen about the ability of G4S to deliver the required number of guards for all Olympics venues and within the timescales available. And the Defence Secretary and I, along with other ministers, have been constantly monitoring the situation and the security contracts over many months. And in consultation with LOCOG and G4S, we have now agreed that it would be prudent to deploy additional military support to provide greater reassurance.
Well, to say that MPs were outraged is to put it mildly. This was the response from Labour's Keith Vaz.
G4S has let the country down, and we have literally had to send in the troops.
So, what are the potential guards saying? Well, much of that was also pretty damning. This was Neil Hagan from Colchester, who applied to be a G4S security guard. He said he'd been waiting for 6 months to find out if he'd got the job.
I've been trained and I've got everything I need, all the certificates, ready to go. And it's been recently that I've heard nothing from G4S. I've just waited and waited. I've tried to contact them, but it's taking forever to try and get through. And finally, recently, only on a couple of emails, when they said that they have to wait for my accreditation to come through and that they haven't passed it on to the Home Office to be tagged.
Well, the news this morning is that G4S is going to lose some money as a result of all of this, but they still stand to make pretty large sums. The Commons Public Accounts Committee has been looking into the G4S contract for several months. A Liberal Democrat on the committee, Ian Swale, said he'd been astonished by the colossal amounts of money G4S was earning.
It felt like there was a massive profit margin in this for G4S, but I guess we never expected that we would then not get the service that was being requested. You know, for these large amounts of money, you would expect excellent service. So, to me, this is just compounding a felony, you know, vast sums of money buying a service that's of very poor quality, it would appear.
Well, Nick Buckles is the chief executive of G4S Security and is on the line now. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Do you accept that you let the nation down?
We accept that we underestimated the task of supplying staff for the Olympics. We deeply regret that. Disappointed. Whether we let the nation down or not, you know, I'm as proud to be British as everyone else. But basically, it was a daunting task to supply that number of staff in a short time
and
scale.
When did you know, when did you begin to know that it was going wrong?
I guess I began to knew it was going wrong probably about eight or nine days ago when...
Why only 8 or 9 days ago?
Because basically we're recruiting a large number of people. They're all working through a process of interview, training, 2 or 3 different degrees of training, licensing, accreditation.
But you've had the contract for a couple of years and you've presumably been starting at least the recruiting last year. I mean, why did you only know so recently?
Well, the contract when we first signed it back in 2010 was for 200 G4S staff. 2,000 G4S staff. And it was only when the security requirements were significantly uplifted in December 2011 where we agreed to supply 10,000 staff.
Right, and you presumably then went to your people and said, A, can we do this? And B, will you keep me informed about our ability to do it?
Exactly, and that's exactly what we have done.
Well, so why have you only realised in the last few days then that something was going wrong? Why didn't you realise, I don't know, in January?
Because basically our review process was around number of people applying for interviews. We had 110,000 of those. Number of people interviewed, which was 50,000. So basically you work through that process of numbers, basically. And as they were getting ready for deployment over a period of time, and as I said earlier, they have to go through 4 or 5 steps to be ready for deployment. It's only when you get closer and closer to the games you realise that the number isn't as high as you expect.
But within the company then, you were asking, presumably regularly, you were having meetings presumably with your senior people, you were saying to them, is this all going well, because it's a massive contract?
Yep.
And they were saying to you, yes, it is.
As I said, we were reviewing it on a monthly basis and then a weekly basis as we got closer of the numbers that were being ready for deployment.
But they weren't ready. I mean, that's staggering corporate incompetence, isn't it?
What we were saying, as I said, was each and every individual has to go through 4 or 5 stages to be accredited to work. And the type of workforce that we're employing for the Games, and it's typical for other events, you've got people that want to work on the Games purely and take time off work to do so for just for the 2 or 3 week period. You've got students that have to graduate or have to take their final exams.
Yeah, and but so, you could have known all this. So I mean, you would have known all this.
So the compression of time, actually, once they were available for training, was fairly narrow.
And when did you tell the government? Just so you didn't know until a few days ago, and as soon as you knew, you went to ministers, did you? This is, what, a week or so ago?
We've been sharing the information with our customer LOCOG and ministers for days now. Together we decided...
But they hadn't asked you in January, February, March, April, May, June. They hadn't come to you and said, everything okay?
They'd been monitoring the same process around... the pipeline of people as we had during
But had
that
they
time.
Asked you whether the contract was going okay?
Clearly, yes.
And you had said yes?
We had shown them the data which said that these are the people that we've got in training, being accredited, etc. throughout the process.
But someone in G4S, you obviously didn't know, but someone in G4S, those closer to the ground, would have known that it was going wrong.
As I mentioned, the process of recruitment was a complex one. Bringing down the pipeline from 110,000 people to 10,000 over that period of time. We've all got the same information. They had the same information. So,
How do you mean they had the same information?
About how many people were at the various stages of recruitment.
So you were telling LOCOG or the government that what was going on?
We were fully transparent through that process.
Well, so they knew that it was all being done at the last minute.
They knew that the process of training and recruitment and vetting had to be compressed over the last 7 or 8 weeks, yeah.
And one of the charges is that compression took place, actually not because it needed to in that way, but because you were trying to save money. You didn't want people on your books for longer periods. You wanted people who you could just take up at the last minute.
The contract's based on us supplying trained security officers on a day-by-day basis. So we pay the individuals, and we get paid by the customer on a day-by-day basis. And we also have a process for passing on costs of recruitment, training, etc. So
yeah, but basically that's the point, isn't it? That actually you wanted to keep those costs as low as possible, and that is why you were trying to do all of this at the last minute.
No, not at all. The whole process of recruitment and training was well resourced by the company.
Why was it so chaotic then? I mean, we've got so many people. I'm just looking now at people who've talked to papers and people who've talked to the BBC. And this is not anonymously. It's people with names and addresses who say they applied. And one person here from Watford told to collect her uniform. Earlier told she was still being screened. Then she was told she had got the job. Then she was told she hadn't. I mean, just absolute chaos. Why? Where does that come from?
100,000 people, as I said, applied to join G4S for the Games. So there's a large number of people in different stages of accreditation, training, uniforming, etc. And it's a complex operation to make that happen.
Yeah, but that's why you should have done it all earlier, surely. I mean, that's the whole point.
Well, basically, as I said, the workforce that we're recruiting for the Games come from different backgrounds. Some are in current employment, so clearly they're not going to be available for training until quite close to the Games, and others are students that clearly aren't available till closer to the Games.
And what about the quality of those people? Because another charge that is made is that some of the guards are pretty poor quality or just not up to doing this particular job, in particular that some can't speak English. Can you tell us with absolute certainty that all the guards that have been recruited by G4S speak English fluently?
I think that's a difficult question to answer because I haven't, I don't know the individuals. But as part of the process, they have to have a right to work in the UK. They have been interviewed, and they have been screened and vetted to a very high standard.
But you can't say that all of them can speak fluent English.
I'm pretty sure they can, but I can't say categorically as I sit here today.
Would that not be an absolute certain requirement of doing a job like this, where you're dealing with members of the public? It's hugely important you're able to communicate quickly, effectively, and you're saying you're not sure, actually, that even those people you have recruited can.
I'm saying that there probably are roles within the security structure where there's not direct communication with the public. I can certainly find out very soon hereafter whether they have to be able to speak English fluently.
It just seems extraordinary that you don't know. I mean, you're the boss of this organisation. You're making a huge amount of money. You're being paid by the taxpayer. You yourself are very highly paid. It just seems really odd that
Sorry, can I just tell you, we're making a huge amount of money. We announced last night that we're actually going to lose £30 to £50 million on this contract.
And what's the total contract worth?
Well, that's it. We're going to lose £30 to £50 million.
You're going to lose £30 to £50 million. Well, let's turn onto the money since you bring it up. That's out of a total contract of what?
So in terms of the revenue we'll bill on the contract itself, over the period of the contract, remember we were doing the build programme through from 2010, we're going to bill about £280 million, and our costs are going to be in the region, clearly, of £310 to £330
million. Does that £280 million include all the infrastructure, the scanners and all the rest of it?
No.
So you've already been paid for those?
No, that's not us. We just provide staff.
Right, so it's an entirely staff contract.
Correct.
That 284, and out of that, the £50 million comes that you might lose.
No, we're going to the costs are £330 million basically. So the loss on the contract is £30 to £50 million over that period of time.
And is that a loss on a contract as a result of a penalty that you'll now pay, or is it a loss on a contract just because you're not going to be able to provide the people? So obviously you won't be paid for not providing people.
It's a combination of those two factors. It's also the fact that we've agreed to pay for the military uplift.
It's a combination of those two factors. So what proportion of it, what penalty are you being asked to pay?
We're assessing that within that £30 to £50 million, but I don't know an exact number. But the biggest part of that cost is clearly deployment of the military.
So the penalty is tiny?
Not at all.
What is the penalty?
I don't know.
£10 million, £20 million.
It's in that range, correct?
And that is a penalty that's part of the clause because you've breached your contract to provide these people.
Correct.
And the rest of it, you say, is for the military. So you're going to pay for the cost of the military deployment as well. Are you still making a profit? And if so, can you estimate roughly what that is?
No, sorry, that's what I'm trying to be very clear about. Mm. We're going to lose £30 to £50 million on this contract.
On this contract is, I just want to make this absolutely plain, that is on the contract to provide people. So there's no wider contract on which you're going to make money. On your entire relationship with LOCOG, with the government over this, you are going to now lose money.
Absolutely.
What do you say to the soldiers? Because a lot of people are going to be, and it's not just inconvenience, but really desperate, particularly people who've been deployed abroad and are going to have to stump up now and be forced to do this. What do you say to those soldiers?
I say, as we put in our announcement, we're very, very grateful for the military providing us with the support, and the individuals, clearly, we're very grateful that they are giving up time with family to come and help us.
Well, they don't have any choice in it, do they?
No.
Nick Buckles, thank you very much for talking to us.